Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, your host Link Flores. How are you doing today? This is a podcast for Wednesday, October 25th, 2023, and I'd like to thank everybody so far who's been listening to the podcast. Thank you so much for putting some listens up on there. Thank you for everyone who's been sharing it. It's really, really helpful just to share it. Give it a listen. If you feel like you have the time or the desire, feel free to rate it and comment on it in the podcast player of your choice. Also, just a little note, the RSS feed, I'm hoping I'll get it done this week. I know it's one of those things that you think, you know, first podcaster, you do this, right? Well, the last time around, I actually had a production team that helped me out. There's just a couple other people that did some of this stuff. And now I'm learning how to do it all on my own. So we're kind of going on this journey together, wandering this podcasting landscape, if you will. So please be patient with me. I'm working on it. I'm learning. Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither was this podcast. So hopefully things will get a little bit more in line as we move forward. Again, don't forget that you can check me out over on Twitch at twitch.tv/linkib. That's LINKIBE. You can also check out my Streamlabs merch store, which is linked in the audio boom description at streamlabs.com/merch/linkib. Also the Patreon. Thank you so much. I have my first patron ever. Super excited about that. Getting ready to record an episode with some random questions I got from the internet and then a podcast exclusive, which is going out to just one person at this point. Only one person has bothered to subscribe to Patreon. I shouldn't say bothered, but actually, yeah, because they took some time and money out of their, you know, they took some time out of their day and some money out of their pockets to support this podcast. So yeah, it was you bothered yourself to make this happen. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. If you're interested in being a part of the Patreon, more than welcome to stop on by patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. And there I will be posting the exclusive Patreon episodes twice a month. And let's see what happens. You can also message me there on Patreon. If you're a supporter, I'll be able to answer your questions. So feel free to fire off. You got 1, 2, 10. I'll see if I can answer as many as I can. They can be serious. They can be funny. You can ask for relationship advice. You can ask me a question personally. You can ask me for advice about, you know, what to do at certain situation with your job, your friends, your family, whatever. And I'll try to do at least something humorous, but we'll jump off that bridge when we get to it. I'm just really stoked about it, and I really hope that everybody will give it a chance. And if, like I said, nothing else, just share the podcast with somebody. That'd be great. Popping into weird news over the week. Yeah, I'm sure you guys, I probably mentioned this before. Twitter, also known as X, has a program coming up that Elon Musk kind of spilled a little bit of his beans on, where he's testing a new policy to charge a fee for unverified accounts on the platform. If you guys aren't familiar with this verification process, really what it is a subscription to Twitter. You get the verified account for paying $11 a month to subscribe to Twitter, which means you have access to all of the Twitter's features, you know, tweets from other people that you know, following all that jazz, right? That's currently the model that exists right now, but the verification thing is a new thing that they were rolling out. Unverified accounts, however, mentioned, would probably pay $1 a year for their pilot program just to use the app. Literally, they're like, to use basic features like tweeting and retweeting. Oh, so $1 a year to just fucking use Twitter. Okay. No real surprise why this social media app is slowly circling the drain right now. Elon Musk, man, it's amazing how he came onto the scene like meteorically out of nowhere, it seemed. And everybody thought he was this really smart guy, when it turned out he was just a really crazy trust fund baby. And now he's kind of taken one of the most preeminent social media apps and turned it into a cesspool. It was already kind of bad anyway. I'll be honest, most people that I know who have Twitter barely use it. They usually just auto-post something from somewhere else to Twitter, so they're never actually fully engaged. It used to be back in the day, you know, people, I'm scrolling my Twitter feed. Now people are like, yeah, just post it to Twitter and just fire and forget. But I think Elon Musk has a lot to do with that. But that's only his own fault. He's got no one else to blame but himself. I mean, between taking over Twitter for an obscene amount of money, firing off a bunch of staff to try to cut costs and whatnot, because he knew that this thing was going to be a loser, I think, right out the gate. But I think he was like so arrogant that he was going to go ahead and make the attempt anyway. And now this new thing, which here's the fun thing. They're not actually going to roll this out in North America. This is supposedly going to roll out in other countries in like Eastern Europe and in Asia and Southeast Asia. So this isn't going to actually hit United States until they've made sure that it's entirely unpopular. But yeah, why would you pay $11 a month to subscribe to Twitter to use all the features when all people really do is just scroll through the people that they know or follow and then they tweet or retweet? That's about it. I don't know a whole lot of people who are doing like live streams on Twitter. You know what I mean? The core functionality of Twitter is basically, you know, an old school, just old school blog posting in a lot of ways. So yeah, Elon thinks he's going to make some extra money. He's already making enough money hand over fist with people who are going to subscribe for Twitter at $11 a month. Man, you know what? Screw Twitter, screw Elon Musk. And you know what? Just by association, screw Tesla too. And they're not quite self-driving cars that keep blowing up and killing people. I think it is hilarious to point out, though, that since Elon Musk's takeover of Twitter, an advertiser boycott went out and cost Twitter 60% of its former ad revenue. That's just funny to me. That's so great. Can you imagine spending so many billions of dollars to buy a social media app? Then it's like watching a kid get a toy train and then immediately take a hammer to it. Then they're like, another toy train. And everybody's like, no, we watched what you did with the last one, you jackass. Boo this man. Everybody boo this man. Here's another thing about it. He leaked this while he was talking to Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel. As you've heard already in the last podcast, I talked a little bit about what I perceive going on in the situation between the Israel and Palestine and the Gaza Strip and everything, and how I feel like the Palestinians deserve their own sovereign state and that Israel's kind of being the bully in this and America's helping. I don't think that that's a really too much of a leap to look at how it's all laid out in history, if you know how to read. Why the fuck is he talking to Benjamin Netanyahu? Like, why? Why is that a thing that he's able to do? I mean, that'd be like if the CEO of Time Warner was hanging out with Kim Jong-un. Like, why? Why are you doing this? You know that this person is just basically trying to push for clout on your platform. And they're wanting to use you to control some of the narrative around their bullshit policies and their crazy ideology in dealing with the other, you know, neighboring nations and whatnot. It makes my brain itch sometimes. The way that Elon Musk has been able to use the cult of personality around him not being really good at anything and still become famous and then also become even more wealthy than anybody needs to be. It's perverse. And people keep buying into it. The only reason I even have a Twitter account is just so nobody else can take the one that I already had. I've actually deleted the app off my phone just because it's a pain in the ass and I don't want to give them any more mind share. It's so dumb. Ugh. And speaking of things that are incredibly dumb, and just we probably should leave it alone after this, Will and Jada's Will and Jada's marriage is, I don't, who was it that said this best? I think it was comedian Josh Johnson said, I've never Googled Jada Pinkett Smith. I've never even Googled Will and Jada. So why do I know so much? Right? I think everything we've learned has been against our will, as the saying goes. He said it was great. He said, I feel like we're related. Like I know more about them than I know about some of my own family members. Yeah, and Will's doubled down on their relationship, saying that, yeah, everything's as good as, you know, they're stronger than ever. He calls it a brutiful relationship, which is gag-worthy in and of itself. Come on, man, you were the Fresh Prince. You can't think of something better than that. It's brutal and beautiful mashed together. It's quite possibly the most mentally and emotionally ruinous relationship in Hollywood at the moment. And it's singularly disappointing because, I mean, for a lot of time, you know, Will and Jada were like the epitome of what, you know, a black couple should look like in Hollywood. And just in general, people were like, man, I want something like Will and Jada. You hear it in rap songs. You hear it in, you know, popular culture. And now that the curtain's been pulled back, no one wants that. No one wants any part of that. It just looks hideous and horrifying. To my point again, like I said last week, Jada doesn't carry all the blame. She gets most of it because she won't shut up. And because she's constantly exposing more and more about how sordid their relationship has been over the last few years, she deserves nothing as far as the media spotlight. And honestly, Will, if anybody knows Will Smith, that'd be awesome. Just send him this podcast. Dude, get a divorce. Come and stay at my place. I'm sure that we'd be happy to host Will Smith in the house for a couple months while you recover from, you know, whatever fallout there might be after a divorce. Dude, take the L. Make another Big Willie style, you know, throw Men in Black 18 out there. We don't care. Just get back to being the Will that we all grew up loving and leave this chick alone, man. She's definitely going to ruin you. Already done a bang up job with the kids. It's really painful to watch them because they're in the middle and they're probably the way they are because they get to see this stuff. They get to watch all this stuff. I mean, can you imagine? You're at home. And your mom and dad are like basically living in separate houses. And then your mom invites one of your friends over to bang out in your parents' old bedroom. Like that would do something to a kid. I'm pretty sure it'd scar you quite a bit. And all your homies are high-fiving each other like, hey, man, I tapped out Jaden's mom. Yeah. What? What? And then Willow has to watch this transpire and pretend that she's going to be a normal human being. Stop it. Stop it. We just need to stop talking about him. After this, I think I'm done. Unless they actually do get a divorce, and then I'll wait and see what happens then. But I'm so over the two of them. They don't deserve the press. Just remove both of them out of your lexicon. Ugh. So sad, too. It's just sad. And the more it goes on, it goes from infuriating to disappointing to sad. And now it's kind of bordering on just revolting. You know, I don't want to see this. It's gross, man. It's gross. Anyway, football season is still in full swing. We're getting into the middle of the season now. Gridiron Gripes are back. After the last podcast, the Jaguars won and Chicago lost. And since then, we've had a couple other games where the Jaguars and Chicago have had their outs right there. I think I remember saying that I was going to pick Jacksonville to win over New Orleans and for Las Vegas to beat Chicago. Yeah, I would have been wrong on at least one of those. Jacksonville did put the boots to New Orleans. Not a barn burner of a game, but still a solid one. And Chicago went ham on the Las Vegas Raiders. I would have definitely lost my shirt on that one. I was wanting to be wrong about Chicago, but I just had a feeling they were going to tank. And then look at them. They proved me wrong right away. It was amazing. I'm really happy for them. Pittsburgh had a bye week last week, but there's another game coming up this week. Also, we're going to talk about some stuff that's just weird stuff that I noticed. There's a tackling a quarterback seems to always, over the last few years, is a big no-no. And I don't understand why. If they have the ball, if they're a viable target, then why not? You can't even breathe on them hard. As we saw with Casey's Mike Edwards, he got a bad call with a clean tackle, no unnecessary contact, no unnecessary roughness. But the commentator said that he landed with his full weight on Russell Wilson. Like, if you watch the playback, the dude was in midair when he got Russell. He was literally flying through the air. Was he supposed to just float? You know, was he supposed to just tap him on the shoulder as he blew past him? Maybe pull the flag off of, you know, it's not flag football. He was flying through the air. He's a big person. Russell Wilson's a big boy. He knew what he signed on for. Take the L. You got tackled. Minka Fitzpatrick and Jimmy Garoppolo. Same kind of thing. Terrible penalty call. Just the tiniest bump of two helmets hitting because there are two large human beings who are moving at high speeds and they collide. And eventually somebody's head's going to bump somebody else's head. He didn't lean forward. He didn't turn towards him. They were just wrapped up, standing up, heads bumped, and they throw a flag. Come on. It's just ridiculous. You can't even touch a quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, what do you, it's, you know, they're not in preschool. You know, he's not touching kids. It's a quarterback. It's a grown man throwing the ball. Let them tackle each other. It's not fucking nap time. This is actual football. So they have to be able to make contact at some point. The problem with this, I think, is going to end up being that eventually, when enough of this stuff goes down and people are getting frustrated about not being able to make simple play calls, they're like, if I'm going to take a flag for it, I'm going to drill him. You know, like I swatted his arm. Oh, it's roughing the passer. Next time I'm going to break it. Oh, I wrapped my arms around his waist and dragged him to the ground. Unnecessary roughness. Next time I'm going to turn this dude into a pancake. You're going to see at least one person. There's going to be somebody who's going to come around like an Ndamukong Suh or like old school, like Lyle Alzado, who's going to make it their mission to put as many quarterbacks in traction during a season as they can. Because they're going to be like, I know I'm going to get called, but if he's going to be there and he's eligible and he's still got the ball, I'm going to plant him. You can go ahead and bury him right here at the 35-yard line, but I'm going to drill this cat. I know it's coming. I know we haven't seen it really yet, but I am waiting for the day that somebody just goes, oh, I've already got two penalties for just sneezing on this guy. Let me just go ahead and see what it looks like if I paint the green with his insides. You know, there's going to be a moment when that happens. And I pray that I have that game on record so I can see it. When somebody just goes, oh, and down goes Russell Wilson for real this time. Like he just gets trucked and all you're doing is watching his smoking shoes sitting on this, like right there at the line of scrimmage. You're like, oh, man, he didn't stand a prayer. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I'm not really wishing it on somebody, but I know it sounds like that. But I just know it's going to happen because I understand the nature of the game. It's a physical game. It's an action-packed game. You know, I played football briefly in junior high school. I really wished I could have played longer, but my junior high school team was crap. But we'll talk about that another time. I just think that it's coming. That day is coming. That train hasn't sailed yet, but it's going to. And when it does, man, it's going to be a thing of beauty to watch. It'll be terrifying, but it'll be like watching a hurricane rip up a, you know, an abandoned funhouse or something, like an abandoned amusement park. Just all kinds of colors and sparkly shit flying everywhere, man. It's going to be amazing. Anyway, moving forward. Like I said, I missed a call on Chicago. I never would have seen them beating the Vegas Raiders in my conscious mind. I'm glad it happened. I'm stoked for Chicago. How's it feel to not be a complete loser? I mean, that's cool. That's cool for them. And we'll just see what happens with this week's game. Also, like I said, I called Pittsburgh versus the Rams. I missed it, but good for Pittsburgh for coming out and putting some boots on people. And then the Jaguars, again, taking down New Orleans. I actually did get to watch that game, and they looked like a much different team. They looked solid. They looked strong. They were hungry. I think the word around town really flies fast in the city of Jacksonville. Just from living here for the last few years, I can tell you that when the Jags lose, they hear about it more than a couple times. And they hear about it all week long. You can't miss it. And then if they have any pregame stuff and they're here playing at the bank, boy, do the commentators in this town really drill them for it. So moving into this week, got a couple of games that I'm looking at. Jacksonville's actually playing the Steelers. This is going to be a tough one for this household because I support the Jaguars. My wife's a longtime Steelers fan. I think we might have to watch this one in separate houses, maybe. I might have to go stay with my buddy. My buddy's having a party this weekend. I might be like, I'm going to stay with him and watch the game at his house. You stay here and do whatever you do, and I'll be back later in the day for Chicago versus the Chargers. So Chicago's playing LA Chargers. Chicago's my pick just because I'm praying that I don't make a mistake and miss one again. I would like to get at least one call right for Chicago. It seems like they're constantly trying to disappoint me, whether it's on the field or at the, you know, the betting table or whatever. Not that I'm betting money on these games, but, you know, you get what I'm saying. And Jacksonville, I'm going to choose over the Steelers. I don't know. Just throwing a guess out there. One thing I think is this might end up being a game of the week. I'm hoping to see some really cool highlights from this one, including the old school Saxonville comeback. You know, watching the Jaguars defense really take it to quarterbacks, putting up numbers on sacks, putting up numbers on interceptions and swatted passes and blocked kicks. I want to see them show out and show why they have like a strong defense and really put some points on the board on the defensive side too. You know, I mean, I know the offense is supposed to score most of this stuff, but Jacksonville's defense can be really exciting to watch. So I'm excited for that. I don't know that I'll be able to see the Chicago game, but if I'm able to, I have it set to record that team on my DVR. So if I get to see that, that'd be great. If I don't, I'll just definitely have to like watch highlight films of that. But oh, Chicago, you give me gas, man. You give me gas. I'm really trying to stay the course and be a true fan, but you guys gotta show me something, man. You gotta find a way to be consistent. Find a way to play all four quarters instead of just playing one or two and then gassing out and then scrambling at the end of the game. Be present all four quarters. Keep a nice head of steam going all the way through. Just remain consistent. They're not bad. They just play badly, and there's no real sense of rhythm and that or consistency, and that's really beating them. They're beating themselves most of the time. I think my favorite thing that I've said recently, and I've heard other people say it as well, is that Chicago finds a way to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Like, they're almost ready to win the game, and then they go, you know what would be really cool? If we just lost. How would that, I mean, do they have money on the books to be the worst team in the league this season? I don't know. It feels that way. It feels bad. I don't like it. It makes me sad, because Chicago's my team, and I've loved them for years, but... Ugh, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? Any hoodles. Let's move on to some real crazy stuff that I've been seeing lately, just in social media and around the internet. There's this trend that's been flying around for a while now, where people pretend to be an NPC, or non-playable character, for those of you who aren't video gamers. They pretend to be an NPC, but in real life. Now, the NPCs, if you've ever seen a video game, it's a character that you generally have like a limited or minimal interaction with. Sometimes they'll be a shop merchant. Sometimes it'll just be a passerby on the street or a villager in the town or whatever. But they don't have any major interactions with the character or with the game. They're just kind of like filler for the background. And in a lot of games, especially the more open world games, you'll see them have like bizarre interactions. Maybe they'll talk to one another on the street, or they'll make a quip or something like that to the main character. But a lot of the time, if you just stand and watch them, they repeat the same couple of lines over and over again. And there's this girl that went around, this video that went around lately called NPC TikTok Girl. And she's in the car with, you come to find out, her husband. And they're getting ready to go out somewhere. And I'm wondering how much of this is staged, obviously, because it is the era of social media and engagement and creating stuff just for the conversation that comes along behind it. Not that it's necessarily a thing that happens, but just assuming that it's real for the moment and that she's actually doing this. They get in the car and she starts doing her NPC TikTok thing, moving, like doing the same repetitive motions over and over again, like a non-player character would, saying the same three or four lines ad nauseum. And she's doing it all to get a rise out of the guy, because they're getting ready to go somewhere to eat, sounds like. And then she, every now and again, reaches over and boop, like swipes the tip of her finger across his lips. And you can see him getting angry. You know, he's like, I want you to just be a normal person for a minute. And then she keeps going on with it, plays the bit out way longer than it would be funny for. But to me, this is a huge red flag, bro. You married that? Word? How? The worst part about it is at near the end of the video, then she switches and she starts like code switching her language. And I'll play the ghetto NPC girl for rural. And I'm like, oh God, why? Why'd you have to do that? It was just so cringy to watch. Like, was she like that when you were dating? Like, while you were courting her, before you decided to put a ring on it, did she act this way? Because this trend is relatively new. So unless you guys have been married less than like 2 years, I sincerely doubt it. That means if she started doing this shit just recently, all I know is this would be the kind of thing that, like, it'd be a deal breaker for me, dog. Like, to see somebody latch onto something that, one, is so inane. The idea is it's so inane and stupid because the characters themselves have no other scripting. The way they're designed to be in this area, walk around this little loop, say these couple lines, and that's it. That's why you don't interact with them, really. They're not meant to be part of your main quest storyline. So by that rationale, this NPC TikTok girl shouldn't be part of your main quest storyline in your life, dude. Time to wash your hands of this one. I would never want this out of a wife. This would make me fucking insane. It's bad enough when people tell the same stories over and over again or use the same expression over and over and over again. Can you imagine if she only said like 5 or 6 things every day and it was always the same stuff? Dude, oh my God, I'd rather live on the corner of the roof of the house. Because if I had to stay inside, I'm going to jail. I'm going to say or do something that's going to get me in trouble because it's highly annoying. If you get a chance to watch this video, one, I'm sorry. I hate it for you. Two, watch it with that mindset that this is probably his life every single day because she does this on TikTok for, you know, social media engagement. I don't know how much money you get out of TikTok likes, but I'm imagining it's got to be worth something because he keeps putting up with it. But then in the video, he actually says a couple times, every day with this shit, bro. Like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, well, kind of like Will and Jada. You picked that, dude. You selected that. You had other opportunities. There were other chicks out there who didn't do this thing. And if she started doing this right away, you should have been like, listen, you can do that for TikTok. That's fine. And that stays in there. Don't bring that out here with me because I'm not going to watch you act a fool and embarrass me and frustrate me out in public. That's not going to happen. I'm a different kind of dude, I guess, but it wouldn't be me. My patience would have been so thin, you would have been able to see through it. The way he looked at her, like, if this camera wasn't on right now, and I was like, dude, don't do it. Don't do it. You could see him chomping at his lip and like, he's like sweating, visibly sweating. Like, you're like, ooh, he's like, ooh, man, if it wasn't, I'm like, oh no, dude. Because the video is long, right? And I was like, oh my God. How long can one person tolerate this? I could have probably dealt with like maybe 2 minutes, 3 at the most just for the gag. And then I'm like, all right, that's enough. Time out. We're doing other stuff now. I think this video is almost 10 minutes long. That's sincerely like that's 7 to 8 minutes longer than it should have been. It was painful to watch. I had to scroll through it just a couple times because I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and watch her do this shit. He sat there the whole time, though. Couldn't have been me. I'd have been at the courthouse for 1 or 2 reasons. And I'm not telling you anything, but it would just not have been fun. I feel gross just talking about it. Anyway. Another thing that's been happening since you guys probably know that I am also on Twitch at twitch.tv/linkib. One of the things I love to do is to give prizes away to the people who support me over there as well. And every 3 months, I do what I call a big box subscriber giveaway. So for the people who have subscribed to me on Twitch, their names all go into like a lottery. And then I pull out 3 names and then they all get a prize. And on the off months, it's a smaller prize, admittedly. It's usually like a $10 gift card to, you know, a video game service or whatever. But on those big box giveaway days, you know, we kind of push the boat out a little bit and make sure we give them a little bit of something extra as a special thank you. And I love getting like gaming or, you know, geeky, nerdy, silly, kind of fun t-shirts for people. Like if I find something really cool, I think resonates with the person, I'll throw it into the box. You know, a couple little cool tchotchkes and toys and things like that. So I was doing that yesterday. And while I was shopping, I was like, oh, I got these shirts. These are cool. Go home, take tags off of them. I got this thing and that thing. I put them all in the box. Also, special shout outs to Gone Broke Gaming here in Jacksonville, Florida. If you check them out at gonebrokegaming.com. Not a sponsored post. They're just really cool people. Interesting store. Great layout. Friendly folks. And just all the new school, old school, and like niche kind of gaming stuff you might want. So if you're in Jacksonville, check out Gone Broke Gaming in Orange Park at gonebrokegaming.com. So I went and stopped there, and I get home and I'm pulling the tags out of these shirts that I got from another big chain store. And I don't know who does this, and I don't know why, but whomever it is, I sincerely hope that you get like finger mites or something. There's a tagging gun that's made. It's, I don't know if you've ever seen this, if you've ever worked retail. It literally just looks like a little pistol, but with no barrel. Instead, it's got a long, thin needle, and you slide these little plastic barbs, they call them. You know, you've seen them if you've ever bought something. It's got a little plastic dowel on one end, the thin plastic thread, and then like a little fat kind of feather or wing tip on the end of it. And you slide a merchandise tag onto it through a little hole, and then you punch it into the piece of apparel, pull it out, and the tag is there. I don't know who's doing this, and I don't know why, but I need y'all to stop this shit immediately. If you look at a t-shirt, usually on the inside of the t-shirt, there'd be like a rolled hem or a rolled seam around the neck of the t-shirt. Some jackass is actually sticking the needle right into the seam between the two layers of fabric, but right in between the stitches, and then pop, and then pulls the tag out so that the one end of the brad is actually stuck inside the rolled over seam. This is ridiculous for a couple of reasons. One, it's awful for the seam because whomever's trying to take that thing out. I've seen some people who are really sneaky and they actually, instead of sticking it right into the rolled section of the seam, they stick it in between the stitches and then let the little barb go just inside the rolled seam. And I'm like, when somebody goes to pull that out, they're going to rip the neck of the shirt. Why are you doing this? It doesn't make any sense at all. It looks weird. Just run it through the thing, one poke, bop, and then let it ride. You leave the barb in the seam. If somebody cuts it and they just go, screw it, I'm not going to try to pull this thing through this tiny little hole and rip the neck of the shirt. Well, now you've got this sharp little plastic thing that's stuck inside there for the rest of the life of the shirt, constantly poking you in the neck. It's annoying as shit, and I don't understand who's training people to do this or who it is that's doing this. But if I catch you doing this, oh my God, you're fired. You couldn't work for me and do that kind of shit. You're going to ruin merchandise that people are going to come back and be like, hey, this shirt ripped. How? Why? I was trying to take the tag out and some jackass here stuck the plastic brad through it and I was trying to pull it out and it ripped. They'd be like, oh, well, we're sorry. We can't take responsibility for it. Yeah, but I didn't stick the thing in there. What am I supposed to do? Wear this plastic thing dangling out of the back of my neck the rest of my life? It's so dumb. It's so dumb. And it's destructive. And it actually feels intentional. I know they don't know me, but it feels like they're doing it to me when I find it, right? Like somebody's like, oh, yeah, here comes that Link guy. Here, let's fuck up his life. Click, 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 click. And I'm like, I really wish I could catch some asshole doing it. I really wish I could. I'm glad I don't manage a retail store because this would be cause for firing. Either them or me, because one of us got to go. We can't both be here. There's no way. And it's just the same kind of concept as manufacturers who put those cheap paper stickers with the almost impossible glue on plastic or glass items. Like, who is that serving? Dude, spend the extra 7 cents to get like a plastic or like some kind of different type of sticker that will peel off easily off glass or plastic. I can't tell you how many times I've had something that smelled like WD-40 for a week because it's the only thing that really effectively gets that gunk off, either that or Goo Gone, I think it is. And then it smells like bright orange chemical death. Why? What's the purpose? Do you just want to ruin merchandise or just like making people sad? Can you imagine getting a gift from somebody and you're like, oh, this is great. There's a price sticker on the side, though. Peel, strip, and it rips down the middle because it always rips down the middle, right? And you got that little gooey, sticky paper glue mess that's there. You try to let it soak in some hot water and soap. That doesn't really do anything. Then you try to scrape it, but you're worried because maybe you'll damage the paint on the thing, if there's any, or damage the coating or whatever. You're like, if it's plastic, I don't want to just scrape this thing. So then you get to do like me. You get like alcohol or WD-40 and try to like slowly massage the glue off. But then you're there for like 10 minutes trying to get this sticky, balled up, rolled up, pilled up mess off of stuff. all you want to do is fight and bite somebody at that point. I can't tell you how many minutes of my day I've lost just looking at that and going like, why are you like this? Make it stop. Yeah, if you own a company, if you work for somebody, you know, or that works in the production area where they're putting the stickers on stuff, tell them to stop this, please. This is ridiculous. It's way past out of control. And another thing, which was brought up to me when I mentioned this on Facebook, somebody was like, yeah, and why can't cereal companies just pair up with Ziploc and make resealable bags for cereal? Duh. It's a non-brainer. And you would have so much money coming back your way when people don't have to keep like throwing out cereal every couple of days, every couple of weeks, because it's like all gone stale. And I mean, imagine the cross-branding that you could have there. Think about that. I mean, there's got to be an opportunity that you could have that would be like, oh, well, now we're paired up with, you know, like you said, Ziploc. And to keep your cereal fresher longer, here you go. I would buy more of the cereal because I'd be like, oh, yeah, I don't have to worry about it turning stale. You know what I mean? Because I have the cool little zipper there. I think that's it's a genius idea. I've heard it many times before. And I don't know why some other marketing executive or somebody else in the, you know, at like Kellogg's or Post hasn't gone, you know what, let's just reach out to Ziploc and make this a one and done. Like, can't we do this? We could pull this off, right? We got money. People will buy. Imagine if you know that your cereal's not going to go bad like within 6 days of opening it because you have the Ziploc seal. And so maybe you like wake up like a week and a half later, you forgot to go grocery shopping and buy another bag, but you have that Ziploc seal in there. Oh man, them Cocoa Krispies are still good. How about that? It's going to be a good day, buddy. It's going to be a good day. Pour yourself a little bowl of cereal. You're happier in the morning because you're excited because you got something in your stomach for breakfast. Cereal's like, you know, starting off somebody's day right. You know what I mean? You could potentially be stopping a serial killer by just not killing your cereal. That pause there was for everybody who decided to boo and or turn off the episode right when they heard that. You're welcome. Annie Hoodles. Yeah, there's not a whole lot in gaming news except for the fact that Super Mario Wonder is out now. Don't have it. Looking forward to getting a hold of it. Maybe this week. I don't know. Today is Wednesday, so who knows? Maybe I'll talk to the wife and see if she wants to pick it up before stream and maybe another game with the game vouchers thing, which Nintendo's game vouchers, they might end up getting me to spend some money this holiday season just because of how incredibly good that system is. Being able to buy a top-tier game for 10 bucks off because you have those vouchers is a godsend. And they've got some pretty good games on that list, so I'm excited for that. The only other thing I heard was that Halo 3, I think it's called the Remastered Edition, is coming soon. Some initial screenshots look beautiful. I'm excited to see what it looks like in the final finished product, but I believe it won't be arriving until sometime in 2024, so we've still got a ways to go before we'll get our eyes on that. As far as other gaming news, I think the only thing that's really, really hitting me now is like this, not really retro, but it's like if I haven't played it, it's new to me kind of sense of gaming that I'm doing. In my stream, I've been going back to older games that have been around for a while. People have probably already finished and beaten and all that jazz, but I never got around to them. Like Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. So many people I know have beaten that game numerous times over, but it's new to me. I think the only issue that I have with doing that kind of stuff is I like to enjoy games. It might be the only problem that I have when it comes to streaming, is that I like to enjoy games and I really hate being rushed through them for whatever reason, whether it's time constraints on my personal playtime, whether it's, you know, if it's a Game Pass game, like, oh, knowing that if I pick it up on Game Pass, it might not be here for, you know, only a couple of weeks or days, depending on when I get around to it. Or if it's somebody on stream just being like, hurry up, do this. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Hey, if you want to play it faster, there are speedrunners out there. Go watch one of them. I'm so okay with you doing that. It won't hurt my feelings. You can come on back when you think the pace is matching what you want to see. But I should have the right to enjoy the game the way I'd like to enjoy it. And that's the only thing that really gets me about playing certain games on stream is that, you know, I know that there are people who are just going to be impatient, but I like to enjoy my games the way I like to enjoy them. I like to explore. I like to talk to the NPCs. I like to try silly things that probably shouldn't work and probably get blown up or whatever when I attempt them. You know, I want to play around with the game. I want to enjoy what I've, you know, spent money on, you know what I mean? Or what I'm playing at the moment, even if I didn't spend money on it. If it was a gift, even more reason for me to sit there and explore it. You know, who doesn't want to see somebody enjoy a present that they've gotten? I feel like it doesn't always go off that way, though, which is one of the reasons why I try to play a little bit more of the action-packed games during my streams. Because the things that aren't as action-based tend to not play well to a broader audience. And, you know, the people who like those kinds of things are usually just going to play them on their own anyway. I actually let my daughter borrow one of my games, Octopath Traveler, which I really love and I enjoy. And I think the story's great. But I just told her, I'm like, she can borrow it because I don't know if and when I'm going to get around to playing it. So here, have at it. I know where you live. I can come get it later if I want it. But yeah, it's a heartbreaker for me when it comes to stuff like that, because I adore strategy games, I adore tactics games and role-playing games. Those are some of my favorite kinds of content. But if it doesn't have guns blazing, you know, every 2 minutes, it seems like people just lose interest. It's a thing I've been struggling with, you know. If there are any other streamers out there who really enjoy RPG games and stuff like that, what are some things that you do to engage your audience more? I'm curious. One of the things I did was I created some dice rolling commands that you can type into the chat and it will automatically generate a roll of the dice, or, you know, adding certain perks that will allow people to engage with me directly by naming a character or choosing a weapon that I'm going to use, something like that. If you got any other tips or tricks, especially if you know somebody who's a solid RPG streamer or tactics game streamer, let me know. I'd be really interested to learn what it is they do differently that I can adapt and adopt for my stream to engage the audience so they won't feel like it's such a drag to watch me play. Because I know that they can be tedious, but I kind of like the ability to like plan my course, decide what I want to do, do certain actions, whatever. Maybe that'd be one of the things, is to make a decision timer. And have somebody, you know, be able to hit a button and, you know, decision timer, you have, you know, 10 seconds to make a decision about blah, 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 blah. You know, maybe 30 because of the delay on stream. But I think you guys get the idea of what I'm going for. Anyway, that's just some ideas that I have that I've been bouncing around. And hopefully, if once this episode goes out, maybe people will hear it. And I'll hear some of them on Twitch today, which, speaking of, I'm going to go ahead and get out of here. I want to get things sorted and ready for today's stream. Again, thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Link Flores. You can always catch me on twitch.tv/linkib 4 times a week through the month of October especially. And going into the holiday season, things may change just a little bit, but I will try to let you know what they are as they come up. I also do stream on Sundays, generally speaking, in the afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with the folks over at Nerdworks Media. We're playing a campaign called Hello There, A Star Wars Story. It's a Star Wars campaign set in the, you know, it's a campaign set in the Star Wars universe running off Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition rules. It's lots of fun. Some episodes are a little bit more roleplay heavy than others, but every now and again you get some really cool combat out of it, some really fun interactions, some wildness out of them. And I'm going to see if I can figure out what happened to all of our VODs, because for some reason I went to go and check, they've all not been saved. So I don't know what happened there, but something probably needs to change there. Anyway, you could probably catch me there on Sunday around 5 p.m. Eastern Standard this week. Check out the Streamlabs store, also on twitch.tv/linkib, or go to streamlabs.com/linkib/merch. I think it's what it is. I always forget which way it goes. Streamlabs.com/linkib/merch. There we go. I got it correct this time. I had it correct the first time. And as always, the Patreon is there for folks who would like to check it out on Patreon. You can go and visit me over there. It's patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. The links are here on Audioboom. And I hope that I will catch up with you guys soon. The new episode, which is just going to be answering questions for Patreon supporters only, will be on Patreon. So if you wanted to hear that episode, it's just $5 per month, and you help support the stream, help support the efforts towards getting better equipment or, you know, learning how to edit and whatnot. That's all you. And that's my little thank you to you. I'm going to try to do those twice a month, answering your questions. So feel free to load up. You got a couple of different questions you want to ask, fire away. And I won't read your name on the air unless you ask me to. I'm just going to assume that you'd rather I not. So this way you can keep a little bit of your anonymity while at the same time getting the respect that you deserve for being a supporter. All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. Thank you again. Please feel free to rate, comment, share, all that jazz. And if you want to share the stream, if you go out to a restaurant or something today, they got those little comment cards. Why not write the name of the stream down on there? That'd be cool. And lots of people that work in the service industry like podcasts too. Maybe one of them will check it out. All right. Thank you and goodbye. I will catch you guys next time a little farther on down the line.